Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
That's what book? 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 12 today. In fact, I really believe this will be the last in this particular series coming from 2 Corinthians. But I felt like this particular passage really was a great follow-up to last week's message, and that there was I could not skip this particular passage of Scripture. And so we're looking at 2 Corinthians. We're in the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We notice in verse 7, it says, a thorn in the flesh was given me. The title of this message today is The Ministry of the Thorn. The Ministry of the Thorn. Many people have a desire to know what's going on behind the curtain in a lot of famous people's lives. There's documentary, did I say that right? Documentaries? Yeah. The balance of the English language just for a moment. There's documentaries about people's lives. There's entire networks that are given to biographical stories of people's lives, whether they be people famous in history that had lived good lives, or whether there were things from even those in maybe who have committed the worst crimes known to man. There's people that are interested in what made them tick, what happened, what's the story behind that. So there's this fixation in our day upon that. But I would say that a lot of that has probably been just in a different way throughout the ages, because the very nature of gossip and different things has to do with other people's business. So we see that. Well, we get a little bit of a glimpse today into the Apostle Paul and some things that he gives us a little glimpse into an area of his life that we don't often get to see in him. He has not given us this information by the Holy Spirit to entertain us. Y'all get it already? It's not to entertain us. It's not for our amusement at all, but he has given it to us by the Holy Spirit to profit us by, and it's been given for a particular purpose so that we would hear these words and know this thing that the Apostle Paul is sharing with us by the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that we need to be careful not to do in life that happens too often is that we have a sense of elevating those people who have gone before us, even in the faith. People that we would call the saints of old, people that we have known, not only the characters of Scripture, but also people we have known in our life who have lived their life in an exemplary way, or people that we've wanted to emulate, people that we saw as people of holiness, people of great faith. But we've got to be careful that we don't put people on pedestals, because we've got to understand that they're people just like we are. But this is what happens when sometimes people will put people on such a pedestal that then they will excuse themselves in how they live their life, and they say, I just can't measure up to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And then we can fall into the trap of saying, well, I try to live for the Lord, but I'm not an angel. I'm not a saint. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you, we're off the biblical page now, because the Bible said every blood-bought child of God is a saint. And when the saint go marching in, it's everybody who has put their faith and trust in him. So look at the person next to you and say, listen, if you're a believer, you're a saint. Just go ahead and tell them. You might not have told them that. Listen, some of y'all needed to hear that. We are saints not because of who we are. We're saints because of who he is. It's because of him. But we've got to be careful, because what happens is we then start saying, well, I could never be this way, or I never could do this because they're this and they're that. Like they have some type of superhuman thing about them. No. That's not what this is about. In fact, the scripture says that these people of old that we see here in the book, these people that we've known who have followed the Lord and lived out their faith, we have the same Savior they had. They lived in the fullness of God, which is the same fullness of God available to all of us to walk in and live in. I don't want you to think less of yourself in God. I want us to think less of ourselves in ourselves, but not less of ourselves in God. I want us to understand that we need to understand we are more than ourselves in God, because it is not us, it is him, and therefore all praise and glory go to him. And so this is where we begin today. Now, in this text, the Apostle Paul shares with us some things I think that are necessary for us to hear this morning. No question the Holy Spirit saw it fit for putting it in the scriptures, that he felt it was necessary that all of us hear it today. And I believe by way of the Holy Spirit working in this place and in this body, he's designed that we hear this passage today. Anytime I say that, or even infer that, I'm speaking that over myself as well. I'm a shepherd under the under shepherd, who is the chief shepherd, who is the good shepherd of the sheep, Jesus. I'm an under shepherd, but I'm also a sheep. And so everything that I ever preach is that I also need. And so we must understand that today and understand where I'm coming from on any subject that we deal with. It's a we, not a you. So as we consider our text, and I just love this title, The Ministry of the Thorn. Because here, God wants to speak to us and minister to us. Now, looking at this passage, I want us to see it again. Verse 7, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, the very first point here is that he mentions a danger. There's a danger. He's saying this has happened. These things that I'm speaking to you about is because of a danger that has come my way. And it's a danger. If it came to the Apostle Paul, then that is also a danger for all of us. The danger was that he would be lifted up in measure. He would be lifted up in conceit. He would be lifted up in arrogance because of the many revelations and the spiritual things that God had done within his heart and life. God had allowed him to experience some things that were not in the normal realm of how most people would experience the communion with the Lord in this particular place, in this particular time. He's saying this happened, but he said there's a danger lest I be lifted up, unless I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations for which Christ has given me, that I get all high and mighty based on the blessing that God has done. He didn't do it. God did it right by itself. That tells you, you had no business boasting about it, right? Yeah, there's no reason to boast because it was that God did. It was that God spoke. But he said the danger is in our human flesh. Paul said in his human flesh that he would be lifted up and have arrogance and conceit regarding these spiritual matters. So there's the danger. The danger that he would become intoxicated by pride. He's talking about the humanness of it all, that he would be intoxicated by pride, increased in measure due to these spiritual things happening in your life. Now, I want you, that seems crazy to start with, but nevertheless, it's true. Even things that happen to us in a spiritual sense, if we're not careful because we are flesh, we can become arrogant and conceited in that. I want to tell you, the ugliest Christian you ever seen is a conceited Christian. And we don't want to be that. I think you can preach now. Tell the person next to you, we don't want to be that. Let's not be that. Just preach. Here's your chance. Preach now. Preach now. Just let them know, I don't want to be that. Because pride looks like Satan. Pride looks exactly like the devil. In fact, Lucifer, another name for Satan, he was cast out of heaven because he was lifted up in his heart with pride. He started thinking too highly of himself as one of the primary angels and leader angels of heaven. He got lifted up in pride and wanted to be God himself, wanted to be like God, and he was cast down for it. And so when pride it dominates our life, we don't look like Jesus. That last song we just talked about, being in His image and in His likeness, we're not that when we take on arrogance and pride and this conceit. Now, I remember years ago, and I can't really remember the sermon. My daddy preached a sermon one time on pride, and he said, he talked about the pride of race, which should not be numbered among the redeemed of the Lord, that we are prideful concerning our race. He spoke of the pride of face. You know how somebody wants to save their saved face? Might even tell a lie over saving face. They want to look good in the situation, so they start reflecting and turning things around in a way that makes them look better. But this was the other one that he said, and it was the pride of grace. The pride of grace, whereby we are somehow uplifted in pride based upon that which we have not even done. That's why the Apostle Paul said that I glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. I glory in Him and Him alone. It's not, I have no right to be prideful, because it is He who has accomplished anything that is good within us. And so away with the pride of race, away with the pride of face, and away with the pride of grace. So we see the danger. There's the danger. Then He gives us the preventative of the danger. The preventative, okay, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. This is the preventative. The preventative that God gave him so that he would not enter into this pride, enter into this conceit and arrogance, was a thorn in the flesh. Notice it. It says a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Paul sees it as a gift. A gift. It was given to me. Now, I can guarantee you, Paul didn't think it was a gift at the beginning. This, you got to realize, when he's writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's looking back on things. A lot of times while we're going through the stuff, we can't see it. That's why we have to trust God, the song said today. We got to trust God through it and in it. Trust Him. Because God can be at work in ways that we cannot see. And He will, if we trust Him, if we are living for Him, He will work in our ways that we cannot see. And He'll be working on my behalf and your behalf to bring that is good, as long as we are pursuing Him and loving Him. He said that they will know that you are my disciples by your love. And the scripture says, if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. But we've got to be centered in our love for Him for these things to work on our behalf. All things don't work together for the good of those who are just living and just about life. It's for those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. But here we have this preventative, which is a thorn in the flesh. He sees it as a gift. A gift. Now, we think about a thorn. It is small. It's small. A thorn is sharp. It's pointed. It's sharp. Man, that thing is frustrating. It's aggravating. In fact, it will fester. If it's not dealt with properly, it'll fester up. It's a secret thing. Usually known only to the person who's experiencing it. A thorn isn't something obvious to everybody. You can be walking around, it didn't even change your step unless that thing be in your toe. But overall, it's something, the pain, the suffering that you'll have, whatever it is, will be for the sufferer, the one who actually has the thorn. So it is a secret thing. In fact, we think about this small thing, it even is not even meant to kill us. It's a pain that is not even meant to kill us. It's just meant to hurt. It's just meant to not let you forget about it. You know what I'm talking about? You had that little thorn, you didn't get it out, you hadn't dealt with it, it's been there, you was messing with some wood, or maybe you rubbed your hand across a rail, that wood rail, you got it, you went on, you ate, you did all the things you were gonna do, that thing stayed there, you felt it. It was just hanging around, and it just seemed to not let you go, and then you might have found yourself in private dealing with it, working on it, trying to work it out, trying to get it all, this stuff out of me, whatever the case is. This thing is frustrating me. It's festering and I'm aggravated with it, but something's got to happen here. Well, Paul said that it was a thorn in the flesh given me. Another thing, there's plenty of thorns to go around. In fact, Adam, the first man, he planted a lot of seeds of thorns. Sin came into the human race. A lot of thorns. In fact, when he and Eve were cast out of the garden, they found that thorns and thistles would be their way of life. Even they would have to deal with them all the days of their life. And so it is, he uses this word thorn, and he's experiencing something. I want you to notice, he said, see, many people have tried to figure out what is the thorn? What is the thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul is dealing with? Because that's what we want to see on that episode of biography. What was it? And people have tried to think of all kinds of things. People have talked about his eyesight, because in one passage of scripture, he talked about how big was the letter and all this stuff, like he couldn't hardly see when he was writing. We don't know. Richard Baxter, one of the Puritan writers, he said he thought he had gout. Listen, I've experienced gout. That's a thorn in the flesh. You ever seen one? When you're dealing with that. My point is, we have a tendency, because Richard Baxter probably dealt with gout. We have a tendency to maybe filter in what we might have dealt with as an aggravating source. What we do know is this now, it was a thorn in the flesh. In the flesh. Not the spirit. In the flesh. It was something in his body, something near to his heart. It was something that would continually get his attention. It's a thorn in the flesh. But this is what we know. Whatever this thorn in the flesh was, the scripture tells us exactly what he was dealing with. A messenger of Satan. That's what he was dealing with, was a messenger of Satan. Now, what it don't say is this. It didn't say he was dealing with Satan. He was dealing with a messenger of Satan. He was dealing with a thorn, an aggravation, a messenger of Satan. He was being attacked in some way in his flesh, in his mind, and the God of heaven, the Holy Spirit, understood Paul and warned him lest he be. And I want to tell you what one thing we know was this, that it was because he didn't want him to be arrogant or conceited in any way. The messenger of Satan was allowed to buffet him. And listen, we got to stay balanced and understand and not let your mind run wild in any way. But this thing was allowed. It was allowed. Why? Because there was a greater thing that God was trying to work in him. It was allowed because he did not want him to become arrogant and then ineffective to preach the gospel. He didn't want him to become any way conceited where then he was going to have difficulty sharing this gospel truth that he was put on earth to share. He did not want him to be hindered in his ministry. And so it was better that the Apostle Paul have a thorn in the flesh than for him to get arrogant and prideful. The same is true in our life as well. Same is true in our life as well. We have a hard time, though, seeing things that are difficult as a gift. Notice it said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. This word buffet means to handcuff. To handcuff me. That's aggravating. If something, when we use that, and we use that adjective, man, I was just handcuffed. I couldn't do anything. And what it's saying here is, it's like there's just, I want to do something here, but I can't get it done. I feel handcuffed. I don't know what we don't know exactly what he's talking about here. All I know is he said, I've been buffeted, I've been handcuffed, and it's aggravating, it's frustrating, and I don't like it. He don't like the thorn. He's not embracing the thorn from that sense of the word, but he's understanding it from in the future, looking back. He understands that it was God working all the while. But I want you to see here. So we've got the danger. The danger is being arrogant, conceited, prideful, right? Then we have the preventative. The preventative is the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet, to handcuff, but nevertheless, God is using it for his glory and honor. Now, that's what I want you to see. What are the effects of this? This ministry of the thorn. What is the effects? Notice he said, lest I be exalted above measure. Goes back to the same thing he said beginning in verse 7. Then verse 8, concerning this thing, this is the effects. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. The effects of the thorn in the flesh are this. It put him on his knees. It put him in full reliance of God. It put him in a place of prayer. It put him on a place where he sought God. He sought after him. Whether it was 3 literal times that he prayed over it, I do not know. All I know is it said 3 times, so we'll go with that. Whether that was symbolic for another number of something more complete that we might say sometimes with when we use the numbers like 7 and stuff, I don't know that. But what I know is 3 times he sought God on behalf of this to remove this thorn from him. It put him on his knees. He called out to God. And he prayed and he got an answer. And he said, God said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's the answer. There's the answer. There's the answer for us. If we'll trust God, even when we have thorns in the flesh, if we'll trust Him, knowing that He's working a far greater purpose than we could have ever imagined, and my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's the answer. He can be trusted. So that's the effects. It brought him to a place of prayer. It brings you to a place of reliance upon God and His grace that is sufficient for our every need. So what are the results? What are the results? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. The results are, I'll praise Him in my infirmities. I'll praise Him when I don't understand it. I'll praise Him in the pain. I'll praise Him in the suffering. I'll praise Him in the storm. I'll praise Him no matter what I'm going through. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. That the power of Christ might rest in me. We say often about, I want the power of God, I want the power of God, but we don't want no thorn. We don't want that part. God, I want your power, but I don't want the fellowship of your sufferings. The Apostle Paul told the Philippians, he said that I may know Him in the power of the resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. But no. Lord, hold that part off. I just want to know the power of the resurrection. But He said there's a fellowship as well. There could be a thorn as well. But if we will keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and recognize that He is wanting us to trust Him even with the thorns, and that His grace is sufficient for you and me, that His strength will be made perfect in the midst of our weakness, that here we see that that the glory of God may be revealed, that the glory of God may be manifested, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. And then I can say, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I sang this probably a few years ago when I was dealing with, I think, the trustworthiness of God, and it simply said, His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. If you know it, sing it with me. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Now listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus today, thorns still come. But when you're outside of Christ, you don't find that strength. You don't find that strength. It rains on the just and the unjust. The righteous or the unrighteous, the saved or the lost man. But in Christ, we receive strength. But if you don't know him today, he wants you to. Because our Savior took upon his brow a crown of thorns. And it was a part of the work of the atonement for the salvation of your sins as blood flowed down his brow. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. And Jesus wants to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And he gives us victory over every thorn. He gives us victory over every sin. And today he desires to pardon you from all sin. And may you find your help today in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? If you're here in this room today and you would acknowledge the fact that you need him as your Lord and Savior and want to commit your life to him today, nobody will come to you, embarrass you in any way. Just slip up your hand if that's you today. Just slip up your hand and hold it up for me just a moment as every hand is held high in the name of Jesus. Thank you for these. Thank you for these. Anybody else, you'll just lift your hand and just hold it up just for a moment. Thank you. Anybody else? We've got several hands that have gone up today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, you see us this morning. You know what's going on in our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, to just manifest yourself right now within every person's life that's in this room, but particularly those who have lifted their hands and they recognize that they need you. They need you. In the most personal of ways, they need you as Savior and Lord. And Lord, even now, I pray, God, that in their own way, they would pray and believe and trust in you, put their faith in you and lean upon you. And God, we just pray that to that end. If we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we'd be saved and then we're to follow Jesus. And I pray all over this room that people would just follow you, follow you, follow you into their tomorrows. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be here waiting for you and I'd love to pray with you for any reason. You that have committed your life to Jesus, even today or in the weeks or weeks ago even, if you've not been baptized, we've got a baptism coming up in the next few weeks, 1st of May. I want to encourage you to be one of those being baptized that day. And if you've been saved a long time and have not been baptized, we want you to be baptized and identify with Jesus and testify of him. Thank y'all for being here. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.